The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond. I've said 298.
Oh, it's getting close.
Oh,
now.
It's so
crap.
Close. We're really close. We're spitting distance to 300, God. They say. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the pride of Long Island, Colin Moriarty.
Hello.
What are you wearing on your head?
I don't know.
It's a Tupperware container. You're wearing a Tupperware bowl on your head. Now you're doing it like the peanut when he dances.
Top of the muffin to you. Sir.
I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I'll put this part of the podcast up because it's related to nothing. Come to IGN.com, find the article. You'll find the embed video of Colin top of the muffin to you.
Top of the muffin to you.
Yeah.
And joining us by fan requests, he's like Batgirl on the old Adam West Batman show. My Italian meatball, Brian Altano.
That was bad. Just let Altano handle that
one. I do it like an iguana.
That's why I do two. One for me, one for you. And then
I never knew that. That's really sweet. Thanks for doing that for us. Andrew Goldfarb. Sick, apparently. What happened to Andrew Goldfarb?
His tummy hurts.
He tosses cookies?
You know, we just went to lunch with him an hour ago, so
what
happened?
What did
he
eat?
He didn't even eat.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah, he just bounced out.
I saw you pressing on his abdomen. You worried about or he was pressing on his own abdomen.
I told him to. Well, because I know everything about stomach pains, Greg.
Yeah, I know you do. You have a lot of them.
Yeah, a lot of stomach problems.
Are you the IGN of stomach pains?
Yeah, basically.
I give this pain a 9.5.
I've had like really bad stomach problems my whole life. So I was just seeing if it was like, if you thought, you know, you can kind of preliminarily see if it's like an internal organ problem, if it hurts when you press it. Because you get really sharp pains all the time, but if like you're like fucking with it and jabbing it and it like really hurts, then you might have like appendicitis or something.
Wow.
So, but I think this is just a one-off for him. He probably has to poop.
No.
Okay. I like your official diagnosis. You might have appendicitis or something.
Or you got to poop. Yeah. One of those two.
One of those things. Dr. Colin Moriarty.
Not an exact science here.
not like we're dealing with anything you know about, so it's fine.
I did go to med school for a little while.
This is our first day back. Tuesday, as always. That's when we try to get Podcast Beyond up. Mm-hmm. And it's the Tuesdays. But this is our first day back, so it's kind of our Monday.
Mm.
Because we had Monday off after a long E3.
Mm.
Well, how'd you spend your E3 Monday, Colin?
Playing The Last of Us online.
Oh. Brian, what'd you do?
Playing The Last of Us not online.
Oh. Mm.
All right, good
Greg.
Show.
It's been fun.
What'd you do?
I played games, and then I think I edited YouTube videos. And I actually did a lot of stuff for Beyond 300. I started calling the list, making a little thing. If you're worried if you didn't make – let's do this real quick. Just get out of the way. I know a lot of people are starting to freak out because we are close to Podcast Beyond 300. I'll have an email out this week. I've been fucking
you've been fucking
up. You've been doing jack shit as always, so you don't fucking talk about what I've been fucking
up. I do everything, dude. Behind the scenes.
Puppet master, Moriarty. Yeah. I'll have an email out this week confirming the time and place you need to be on Friday, July 12th.
Are you calling everyone individually?
No. Somebody tweeted at me the other day, had a question. I started to respond on Twitter, and then I was like, this is kind of silly. I have his phone number. So I called him, but then he didn't answer.
He fucked up. Yeah,
that was the real fuck up right there.
I'll call them.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying. For the next month, the next 3 weeks, month or whatever it is, you have to be on your toes now. If you get a blocked number call, answer it. Could be podcast.
I can help you call some of these
ring,
people.
Seriously, we have nothing to say to them right
just
now.
Say, hey,
I'll say anything you want. Give me a list of people, a list of numbers, and what to say, and I'll sit here in my lunch break every day for the next 3 weeks calling people.
We should call three random people again today.
All right, go get the list off my desk. There's a half piece of paper I moved around today. It's either by the phone or it's by a bunch of other garbage.
I like your system there.
Thank you.
is a half-torn piece of paper by the garbage.
Actually, funny story. I noticed this weekend when I was doing the podcast Beyond 300 mm-hmm. that the master document with everybody who had RSVP'd and all the VIPs
was a banana peel with it.
It was in the Google trash. I couldn't find it, and I started panicking, and so I had to like search and.
Well, it happens on your phone sometimes. You just move your big thumb, and it like something just ends up archived forever.
Which you don't want it all
in the garbage.
I remember, July 12th. Podcast Beyond Friday, we are gonna hopefully, I'm knocking on wood here, we'll be live streaming it, so you'll be able to see it even if you aren't there.
Yep.
But if you are here, all sorts of events planned. I'm working on something right now for what to do on Saturday. Remember, I said I wanted to have a weekend of events for you guys. We might have something cool on Saturday. It might involve Brian Altano that I haven't told him about. So
really, I don't know yet.
We have this here. If they've already been unboxed, there we've already called them.
What does that mean, unboxed?
You see the boxes with the numbers and stuff. I got check marks on them. That means they've been called before. Now, here's the other thing. This is the other announcement for you, ladies and gentlemen, about Podcast Beyond 300. We've had some people drop out here at the last second. Not a lot. A few. I know a lot of people were upset they didn't get in. They didn't make the call. This is your chance. Email beyond@ign.com. Subject line, Podcast Beyond 300. No dashes, no nothing. I'm doing this is how I find your email. Podcast Beyond 300. Then in the body, give me your full name, your age, your phone number, and email. And if you want anybody else included, include all that information for them, too. Don't be stupid about this. You're all – some of you fucking it up.
Sort it out.
Come on now.
I was hoping this text could be a little smaller. Like I'm reading a fucking microfiche over here.
I know. It's hard to believe you're just looking at it, huh? Mr. Does everything behind the scenes.
Someone's got to write about PlayStation on this site, Greg. And that person's me.
It's me blowing the hot coffee. Blowing it cold.
Oh.
You give Altano a number here. Let him call somebody.
All right.
Yeah, sure.
We're going to call Michael.
All right. Michael's getting a call.
You know, let me just consult the fucking tiny print here.
What do you want me to say to this guy?
Whatever you want.
Oh.
Podcast Beyond 300. He's
like, hey, you coming to Beyond 300?
Yeah. It'll be funny if he's like, no, I emailed Greg and I can't come.
Star 6-7.
Well, fuck you.
Star 6-7?
That's right. Star 6-7 before it to block your number.
Wait, why?
Oh, because then otherwise they would have the IGN phone number.
Oh.
Okay.
That's how we do it.
We have one phone number at this
I don't want the podcast room phone ringing all the time.
You're going to talk, right?
Altano is. Blah, blah. What's up, everybody?
What's his name, Michael?
Yeah.
But bring it close to the phone so we can hear it, too.
I like your Boy Meets World wallpaper.
Thank you.
Hi, Michael.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Brian Altano from IGN. How are you?
Dude, I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm just making sure that you are coming to Podcast Beyond 300 in a few weeks.
Of course, Mr. Brian Altano. What will they fail out?
Can I get a brap brap? See, he does it better than you, Greg.
Blah, blah.
Greg's here. He wants to say hello.
Hi. Can I hear Greg's
blah? Blah, blah. What's up, everybody? I'm Italian.
Not even trying.
I do what I can.
Podcast right now, or am I just talking to you guys?
No, you're on the podcast. This is episode 298, and I'll tell you right now, we are phoning it in. We're a good 10 minutes in, and this has just been
literally,
a fun
we're literally phoning
ah!
it in.
Ah!
That's awesome.
Where are you coming from? Where do you hail from? Where are you coming from?
I am from Tracy, California.
Oh, well, that's not that bad.
I just finished The Last of Us last night.
Oh, me too.
What did you think?
Yeah, dude, that game's fucking incredible. Holy shit. Yeah. So good. It's so good.
That's what the descriptor for an IGN 10 is. Fucking incredible. Holy shit. 10 out of 10.
I know. Yeah, dude, that game's awesome.
Did you see the after the credits scene with Samuel L. Jackson?
Joel, I'm assembling a team of professionals, and it's like Jack and Nathan Drake get off the plane. All right, Michael, we got a show to do. Otherwise, people just get mad that we didn't call them. But I'll see you soon. I'm gonna email you this week with more details.
Okay, cool. Thanks, all right, brother.
Beyond. Well, he seems like a delightful
young
man.
He's a nice man.
What a short walk for him. Who is this giant man?
We'll call someone else in 15 minutes.
Okay. You're going to keep track of that?
Yeah.
All right. Let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
I don't have the Roper Report.
Oh, Collie.
Well,
some things happened.
It's one of those things. We did an E3 podcast.
Yeah. We didn't really talk about it.
E3 kind of exploded there. That was kind of the big thing we got to unpack.
Yeah.
We talked to Shuhei. We danced around the big stories. We didn't address them head on.
Yeah.
So I guess that's maybe this should be more of like a listener mail thing. A lot of listener mail.
Sure,
that'd
be great. And just so people know, because some people were commenting that the audio quality was bad last week. It's bad every year that we do it with Shuhei Yoshida. So you must be new to the podcast because that is the worst quality podcast audio wise, but maybe the best quality content wise.
Yeah. We're always in a sticky situation with Podcast Beyond. We love it. It's great. It's never. It's not our priority at IGN. Sadly, no. I wish it was. I wish this is all we did. But like, for everything else we have to do, D3. I can't pack a motherboard or whatever the hell these things are called.
You gotta have the motherboard. I mean, you have
soundboard. What do you call them, Brian? You make music.
A motherboard.
No, your little dumb grin tells me. Whenever you're lying to me, you get these crow's feet.
I know. I am the worst. I am the worst liar. It's no. That's fine. You can just bring whatever you want. You'll be fine.
Well, now, do we have a list of games?
At E3?
I know the games I played and saw.
No. I mean,
nothing came out that's important. Just keep playing The Last of Us.
There you go. That's all you need to do. That came out on Friday. New Game Plus. So that kind of counts.
Actually, the Dungeons and Dragons compilation with the side-scrolling hack and slash games that Capcom did in the 90s came out today, and that's supposed to be like really cool. I mean, those games were awesome. So
wow, I didn't even know about that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's like Mystara and the one that came before it. What the hell was that one called?
Motherboard.
Oh, you got an old Knob Switch, too. Don't forget.
Oh, Knob Switch. Jack and Daxter Collection also comes to Vita today, which is cool. So
you gave me a copy and took it away.
Yep. I have a copy at home you can have.
All right, good. Do I have to, like, give you the Colin tax for it?
You owe me a lot of money. So I have this thing. Greg and I have this joke going on with each other. We're literally the only ones that find it funny. Where, like, I just...
So we'll explain it to you on the podcast.
Where I have a thing called the Colin tax where I randomly just tell Greg he owes me certain amounts of money for no reason. Some more exorbitant than others just so I can let him live in the apartment.
Does the amount keep going up?
It fluctuates just depending
on... Or it's like one day you're like, it's $11. One day you're like, it's $75.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's like $20,000. Yeah, $20,000.
So some days you just make up fake increments.
Yeah, sometimes I can't speak. So we had Wing Wings the other day, and I owed him $20. But I said, because of the Colin tax, he actually owed me $60, even though he paid for dinner.
That's really good.
Yeah. So I thought it was actually a pretty good deal for him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy to live in that house and not get my ass beat. You're generally pretty nice to Portillo. Let my girlfriend live there. It all works out in the end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt. All right.
I'm going through to make sure we're on point. But all right, let's start with an E3. Colin, give us the wrap. How do you wrap up PlayStation's E3?
It was really good. They
they won.
They very easily won. The games were fun. The ones I played were fun. The games I saw behind closed doors were cool. A lot of good first-party stuff coming. And I think the show presence, like their booth presence on the floor was really indicative of their third-party slant and their attention to indies.
I really liked their booth this year. Their whole layout was really nice. It was different for the first time, I think, in like 5 years. And they had this giant Gran Turismo car, and I caught this wonderful anecdote as I was leaving, because this was the first time where 5 o'clock on the final day hit, and I was still in outside of their booth, in the hall, because IGN's booth was facing their booth, which is really cool. And it plays up to our inherent biasness towards Sony products.
That was part of getting the Last of Us 10 was exactly. A giant sack of money, and then the promise. Well, if we walked out our front door, we saw the
PlayStation. That's how we sent the big cartoon checks back and forth. Was like, you know when you're in Hooters and you make an order and they send the thing down it's just like that. But they were – one of the Teamsters who was working on the Sony booth, he was like, oh, it's going to be really easy to tear this down this year. And the other one looked at him and he's like, yeah, it's not like we got a fucking car to worry about. Loved it. But yeah, their booth was big. It was inviting. It was really cool looking. Now, you say that they easily won E3, which I totally agree with. Do you think if Microsoft had done everything perfectly that they still would have won? Because I still feel like they would have. Like, I think even with the used games aside, even with, like, their console being $100 more, if they were like, this is who we are, this is what we're doing, I think just the way – and you guys obviously talked about their conference and stuff like that. But I think that their personas this time around were just something so much more approachable, so much more like –
You're asking a couple different things here.
Right.
I think if we removed used games and the $100 difference in price and them, you know, the Rockstar moment of everything Microsoft does or won't do, we will do.
Yep.
If you remove that, I think they lose.
Really?
I thought that Microsoft's conference was like a bunch of awesome games. They were really, really cool games, and I loved that. And then it finished. And then when we went into PlayStation, the story I keep telling, right, is that it was an hour of the PlayStation conference, and they called us back to the live stream table to be ready in case they bump out at any time. And so Damon and I sat down and talked for the first time, and I was like, this is a good showing, but like it's not super exciting, right? Like,
yeah.
Because it was here's more Knack, and here's more Killzone, and here's more Infamous, which is all great, but it wasn't like a new announcement. It wasn't anything crazy.
Right.
They had the order tossed in there. But then, like literally as I said that, they came on stage and were like, let's talk about what the other guys are doing versus us.
And they had their like classic 1980s WWF moment.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I'll tell you what, Andre the Giant. But I talked to – I think I mentioned this in last week's podcast, but even expounded about it a little more. Like you're talking about personas and stuff.
Yeah.
I totally – what I told people after the conference and what I talked to Shuhei about was like, you know, I think Beyond fans know Shu from our show, and then they go follow him on Twitter, EOSP, and they see the way he interacts with other people and how joking
really,
and awesome he is.
Yeah, genuinely like, nice dude.
And this conference I really felt was PlayStation as a brand adopting that.
Yeah.
And being like, hey, here's a photo of me with the podcast Beyond Kids.
Yeah.
And here's, you know, the other guys suck and we're doing this and we're $100 cheaper and no DRM. And, you know what I mean? Like that was totally them, you know, giving the metaphorical finger, right? Of being
yeah.
like, well,
yeah.
This is who
I
we
mean,
are
I,
now.
I read this article somebody wrote that this is how bad I am, but they were like, about the Microsoft conference.
They said,
you're not wrong, you're just assholes. And I was like, that really nails it. Cause I mean, they just came off as just like, hey guys, like a bunch of these like kind of rich, white, 80s, 90s, like sort of retired coke addict guys who are like, hey, we're just gonna, you know, these fucking kids will play any of these games. They'll fucking pay up. And Sony was just like, hey, you know, we just really want to hang out with you and just do fun stuff. Like, you know, I know that you guys like TV and you like movies and you'll still be able to do that, but you guys want to play video games, right? And we're like, yeah. And they're like, well, here's how you're gonna do that.
We talked about this after the February event that this really is, I think, them. The reading between the lines of, hey, we fucked up with the PS3.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're not going to do that again, and we're sorry. It's almost one of those, like, sorry we've been gone for so long.
Yeah.
Sorry we lost ourselves in that. And it's that, you know, I think Colin mentioned it before, like, you know, the hubris of that second console doing so well. It does so well that you come out for the third, and you're like, I can do anything.
Well, you're seeing a very similar hubris now out of Microsoft. And you know, the fact of the matter is it probably already happened. But PS3 will outsell Xbox 360 worldwide, but we're within our... And they'll do that being on the market a year less time. I mean, the numbers are negligible now, so PS3s technically are outselling 360. But we live in the North American bubble where since PS3 Slim came out, so since like late 2009, Xbox has outsold PS3 pretty handily every single month since then. So we live in this bubble where like Microsoft dominates with the Xbox, and the same is true in the UK, although not mainly in Europe. And I think, you know, what we're seeing now is like the third console curse is like kind of real. I mean, when you think about it, it's like, you know, the NES and the SNES were great, and then the N64 came out and they had a lot of trouble, and the PlayStation 1 and PS2 were great, and the PS3 came out and they had trouble, and you know, the Genesis to the Saturn.
These things they don't come down to like, oh man, you know, the games weren't there or this wasn't there. Like the N64 had great games, like the PS3 had great games. It's all about the cockiness that those guys had going into like Nintendo were like, "Oh, you know, we're not going to partner with Sony and make discs." That's crazy. That would be cheap for everyone and fun. You could fit 80-hour games with CD-quality music. Now we're going to make cartridges. We're going to charge $85 for them. We're going to sell publishers the same cartridges for $65, $70. They make basically nickels off of every game and screw over everyone, screw over all the third parties, burn bridges. And Microsoft did that this time around where they're just sort of like, you know, we're going to do our own thing. And you want to connect. And we're like, no, we don't. you want to do all this. You want a system that's always online. Then there was the article about the military, basically.
Yeah, I saw that. That was crazy.
That have people in the military cannot play the Xbox One. And these are the guys that in between everything.
Protecting us.
They're like, I'm going to play some video games. And like, they need it to be offline. You know, they play local multiplayer shooters and they can't do that. So.
Yeah, that was correct. When I saw that article, I was like, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like the military brass is like, well, this console's not for our people because you can't play in Afghanistan or Iraq or, you know, wherever. Soon to be Syria, I'm sure. So I'm really interested in how Microsoft responds now because they're on their back foot now for the first time since 2005.
Yeah.
And the thing that I think people are ignoring is, yeah, the order looks really cool. We don't really know anything about it yet. I did a pretty extensive interview actually you can read on IGN with the guy that made the game, but we knew a lot about a lot of these games and I got to play a lot of the games and it was cool, but I think the games being shown at Microsoft's conference were actually better, the exclusives, and I think a lot of that's lost, like Titanfall and Sunset Overdrive and Dead Rising 3 looks fucking dope.
They didn't show much of it, but I got to sit down and interview the guys behind Quantum Break, Remedy and stuff.
Yeah, Quantum Break.
If they pull off what they're talking about, holy shit, does that sound awesome. That sounds amazing.
Well, they're a great studio, so yeah. You know,
I actually thought Dead Rising 3 was a mess.
Really? I think
did you play it or just the demo?
Just the demo. Yeah.
See, like my thing was I only watched the demo, and for me they were like, it's the zombie MMO you've always wanted. I'm like, yes, I have. And then it looked like there were a million zombies on screen. It looked really dire. And then of course they did the goofy weapons. I was like, no, don't do that.
I mean, that's the thing. It's sort of trapped in two worlds, right? And I know we're on a PlayStation podcast talking about an Xbox.
We're on a conversational podcast. Number one podcast on IGN. We talk about whatever we want, Brian. Don't you worry.
Yeah. Suck it. But to me, it was like, maybe call that a new franchise. Don't call that Dead Rising. Because to me, Dead Rising is what it is, or has certain connotations to it. And they're like 1 foot in Goofy Land and 1 foot
one
in...
1 foot in Goofy Land.
Yeah, that's the story of my life.
That's your next album.
it was the same thing where it's like the guy's running around. It's gritty and realistic. And all of a sudden, no, my gun broke. And it just explodes in the air. And he does it with his arms up. And
I don't know. I think Dead Rising 2 is like really bad.
Yeah, it was.
So it was cool for like, that game sucks. So it was like really cool that like Dead Rising 3 was, it seemed more fluid and more open ended. It's not like a mall. It's like a fucking world that you get to explore, which I think is kind of cool, because there's something really cool about that franchise that they never took advantage of.
Yeah.
You know, that's an Inafune game back in the day. So I mean, there's not surprising that, you know, with Onimusha and Mega Man and all these other things he's done, like he hits home runs, but. You know, when he got his hands off of it, much like I think Lost Planet, it's a very similar story or whatever. I think it kind of lost its soul a little bit. And, but I think a lot of, you know, I think Ted Price being on stage at the Microsoft conference was like a huge moment. Might have picked the wrong horse at the wrong time after sticking with Sony for such bad times.
Well, they're still with Sony. Yeah. They're just expanding their portfolio. He was very clear. Cool. I know, I'm just driving home for somebody who's listening.
And for people that don't know, Sunset Overdrive is being largely driven by the guys that did Resistance. So this is their best team. And so there's a lot of reason to be excited about
Explains
it.
Why they look so similar.
Yeah, oh yeah. They're this was. Yeah, I talked to those guys. I went out to dinner with some of the guys from Insomniac when I was at E3, and they're really, really excited about that game.
Yeah. Trailer looks cool.
Yeah, I think that it's very stylish and stuff like that. But yeah, with PS, like my only disappointment with the PlayStation conference was like a real lack of. First of all, I expected that they were going to announce one more big PS3 game, and I thought it would be Uncharted.
Big PS3.
Yeah, like I thought that they would be like, we have one more. God of War 2 is a good analog to that. God of War 2 came out a year after PS3 came out, you know, and that was a PS2 game and it sold huge numbers. And I was expecting that maybe Uncharted or something was going to be a PS3 game.
Well, I mean, you say that, but you figure there's still Gran Turismo and there's still Beyond Two Souls. Like, it's not like they don't have these games.
There
that
was also
have mindshare.
The Last of Us, which to me
is
like the Last of Us. You talk about Sony's booth at E3; they had 20 kiosks set up to play The Last of Us there, and people were lined up. Even though it was out 2 days after the show, people were like, I got to play this now.
Yeah, they made a good choice.
And to me, that's the sort of the console swan song that I need. That's sort of like, this was my final PlayStation 3 experience that I really, really care about. Beyond Two Souls can go anyway. GTA is on multiple platforms. Gran Turismo bores the shit of me. But The Last of Us is just like, yep, Naughty Dog is saying goodbye to me.
You know, I've been covering the PlayStation 4 IGN since it launched, pretty much, right? A few months shy of that. And I've never seen a groundswell like this, even for the Uncharted games, like Last of Us. Every one of my friends' list was playing it.
Yep.
I'd go to Twitter. Everyone was tweeting about it, even our jaded non-PlayStation playing friends and coworkers. Mm-hmm. Then you'd go to my ats, and everybody was adding me about like this, that, or the other they had seen. It was like this weekend was just this like glorious experience of just Last of Us. That's all anybody wanted to talk about. That's all it was. I mean, it was a bunch of Last of Us tweets, and then people bitching about Man of Steel, and somebody defending Man of Steel, and then all Last of Us tweets. It was awesome.
Yeah, The Last of Us, the word about The Last of Us sales-wise is that it's selling extraordinarily well.
The story I didn't get a chance to read it yet, but I saw was it outgrossed Man of Steel this weekend?
Yeah, but that's the rumor. So the VG Charts, which is a website that makes up its numbers basically.
they guesstimate a lot.
Yeah, it's like they use a system, like an algorithm that is
got that secret
somewhat right.
Yeah.
They guessed like 1.3 million copies sold.
That's great.
Which would be huge. And that, of course, wouldn't count digital copies either. I reached out to Sony to try to get like real numbers or whatever. Uh-huh. But even if you go online and look at the leaderboards, there are hundreds of thousands of people on the leaderboards already. And no one plays online before they play single player. And they don't rush through games like we do sometimes and stuff. So it bodes really, really well for that game. Like that, The Last of Us is going to sell extraordinarily well. Yeah. Very obviously. And I'm interested to see what they do with it in the future. We're going to do a spoiler cast. You'll see that later on IGN later this week.
Hopefully, knock on wood, by the time this podcast post up at noon goes live that we filmed over there, and it's a 20-minute conversation with Neil Druckmann and Bruce Straley. Totally spoiler-free. So you should come check it out. It's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff.
I'm legitimately pissed off I didn't finish the game until after E3 because I missed the
chance.
So
much talk about them.
I finished the game, and I was immediately like, Neil Druckmann, we need to talk.
Yeah. Did he answer?
No. It was like midnight.
Oh, right, yeah. I rolled over last night, and I saw your text from me in the middle of the night.
It's the fact that they have these two franchises now that are going to be dueling but going back and forth, I think pretty obviously with each other, Uncharted and The Last of Us, is pretty cool, you know?
Yeah.
And I think speaks really well for...
But I mean, are they going to do another Last of Us?
Yeah.
So
leading into it, Neil had said in interviews leading into the release of the game that he wouldn't mind it being alone.
Yeah,
I said,
but
mind.
It's not up to him.
I know, Colin.
I bet you Sony's already greenlit it after the sales.
Now, Sony Ben's working on the Vita version.
So to be fair, I see the Last of Us in the same way I see something like American Horror Story or The Walking Dead, where it's the world. And the characters are incredibly important, but if we see this world 5-10 years later and it's gone even worse in any direction and there are different people that you're playing as, that's fine. Like I don't feel like when I finished it that I needed to immediately go, well, what's next for these two? You know? I kind of liked how it was for them, and I don't know if I wanna see, well, it's been a year, so here's another adventure of Joel and Ellie out in the hills, you know.
Right. This is something I was talking about on Twitter this weekend while Colin was playing multiplayer and we were discussing it and I went to Twitter with it, is that, yeah, I'm not going to platinum The Last of Us, not because of the multiplayer stuff. The multiplayer stuff Colin was playing last night looked fun. And I had done, you know, my first blush of it and thought it was a third person thing, and I still think it is a lot of third person and I'm not super excited for it, but that's beside the point. I don't want to play it again right now because I'm still happy with what happened. That was still my playthrough of it and now it's done. And I said that was like a... similar to how people play Journey or The Walking Dead.
Yep.
And a bunch of people are like, you're a fucking idiot. The Walking Dead, there are so many different things that change. Nothing's going to change in this narrative.
Yeah.
And it was like the way it all would play out would for me. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? The part of The Last of Us was that, for the most part, they were awesome about not spoiling the game.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like,
yeah.
you didn't know what was around the next corner. You didn't know what was about to happen. So it was totally – I was in that moment of listening, of like, what – I'm in listen mode. What am I about to run into? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
And I don't want to go through that just yet. I mean, one day, sure. Like, Mitch was talking about he sees it for him as, like, a yearly playthrough. Like, you know, come back and read this good book over and over again. And I get that, and
I want that.
I'm not on platinum pace because this game's about more than trophies to me.
Yeah, I could see that. To me, it's my favorite PS3 game. It might be my favorite game of this generation. Like, the more I sit and think about it, it's like when I look at like a game like Ocarina of Time, it's like to me, it's like PS3's Ocarina of Time, where I will go back to it every few years and I'll relive it. But my first playthrough was hard and it was gut-wrenching and it was difficult. And I was talking with Colin about it and I was like halfway through and I think I was texting you and I was just like, God, everything is just destroyed and eroded, and I just feel gross and miserable. And then I was like, oh, that's the fucking point. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I'm supposed to be experiencing right now, is this misery and this dark, drab feeling of like, oh my God, I have to sulk through another corner and shiv another man in the neck with something I built with fucking tape and blade I found. It's awful.
Yeah,
but that's the point.
That's the point.
It's not like, hey, collect all the things and get a free man. Yay, you won. it's like, oh God, this is dark. And then it just keeps going. Like, people, I finished the game and I tweeted that I teared up a little bit, which is the first time that's ever happened to me in a video game. Ever. And all the games, people were like, you know, I cried. Even The Walking Dead, I didn't cry. And I sat there on the floor and I looked at my TV and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah,
but I didn't cry. But this game, like, I actually choked up, and people were like, "Oh, what? It's a Naughty Dog game. It's probably over in like 6-7 hours, right?" And it's like, "Nope."
Yeah,
it took me like 16, and it was grueling. And you don't know when each section's going to end, except it's broken off in seasons, and something dramatic happens, and it's like spring, and you're like, "Oh, fuck!"
Yeah, so the whole narrative is brilliant. And you can tell, like, because there are a few people that are like, this game's boring, or this game, it's like, you don't get it.
Yeah.
If you think, like, honestly, like, you don't get it if you think the game's boring. Like,
yeah.
You're not approaching it with the spirit. Because I talk about in the review, it's like The Road, and The Road is a book that is not pleasant, it's not fun, there's nothing good in that book. It just gets worse.
Yeah.
Like, worse and worse and worse, and that's like, I can understand why they weren't talking a lot about The Road, even though Cormac McCarthy was very clearly the inspiration for this game, and they, like, never talked about it because they didn't want to draw that that comparison because it's so fucking obvious when you play the game. But in the best way possible, because Cormac McCarthy won a fucking Pulitzer for that book.
So have
you know? So like it's like,
have you guys ever seen the film Funny Games?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Okay, so it's about this couple that like goes to the Hamptons or someplace nice and
oh, on the island?
No, no, no. They're just like this rich white couple
to the Hamptons,
and these two kids decide they're just going to go fuck with these people and picket them and murder them and kill their dog and torture them for a weekend. And the director told everyone this is what the movie is about, and everyone went to go see it. And afterwards, they were like, "God, that was fucked up." And he was like, "Yeah, I told you that. You went in knowing that was fucking horrible, and you still sat there and you watched the whole thing. What did you expect? Like anyone who bought this game is like, oh, that's." It's slow and brooding and dark and like, yeah, you bought a game about a virus outbreak in the apocalypse.
It's called The Last of Us.
The Last of Us. Like, it's dire as fuck in the title. Like, you knew that going in. Like, it's not like, oh, Arms of War Bros, where you have to go and you're like, yeah, I'm going to go kill everyone as fast as I can and run around in circles. It's not like that at all. And they make those games, so go play those games. The Last of Us is not that.
Yeah. Yeah, The Last of Us is a special game, and I'm super excited for people to play more of it. I'm super excited to be able to talk about it more openly. We will do the spoiler cast. We'll have a lot of pieces about how this series might continue.
Yep.
And also, I want to reiterate, because a lot of people are like, the game's spoiled for me now and stuff.
Nothing's spoiled for you.
I've seen quote-unquote spoilers all over the internet. I can't tell you how many of these spoilers are fucking bullshit. They're fake. I've read a few spoilers that are like half true. But like you need the context for them. And like the big spoilers I've seen where I'm like, this is person X dies at Y point in the game. I'm like, just
the Samuel L. Jackson thing is totally true, though.
Oh yeah, the Samuel L. Jackson and Jack and Daxter's in the game.
Before we stop beating The Last of Us, Jerome, two things. One, Friday we have an exclusive interview with somebody who's in the game that I don't want to spoil for you. Two, we have an email from Gabe. Gabe says, "Hey, Podcast Beyond team.
Hello.
I'm halfway through The Last of Us, and I can't decide whether this or Bioshock Infinite deserves Game of the Year. Both are absolute masterpieces in my book. Anyway, as I'm playing through The Last of Us, I can't help but compare the two young female characters from both games. Both play extremely similar roles, yet have completely different personalities. So which character do you guys prefer? The naive, whistling Ellie, or the intelligent, ammo-scavenging Elizabeth?"
I think he kind of sells
Ellie short in that
description. Yeah.
Ellie's naive at all.
I don't feel that way at all. In fact, I felt like Elizabeth was more naive by the end of the
game. Elizabeth's inherently naive because she's in a fucking...
I live in a tower with a bird that protects me. Check out my finger.
Yeah, it's like...
And then she walks outside and she's like, wow, dancing. What's that?
Yeah.
Ellie's like... I've never seen it.
Hey, asshole!
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she stabs a dude in the fucking neck.
A lot.
You know what I realized, too, is... Well, I don't know if this is... This might be a spoiler. Never.
Okay. Personally, yeah, it's an interesting question. At first blush, without thinking about it, I say I prefer Elizabeth. But I prefer Elizabeth because she is this pristine, untouched girl, right? Of like that she's just out there. She doesn't have to go through the atrocities that you go through. And in the end, don't get me wrong, she gets fucked up in Bioshock.
Right.
But, I mean, Ellie's world is... F from the get-go. So, you know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
yes.
But
she was born into like this.
As far as a character and characterization and performance and like... Ellie is a much more rounded out, full-fledged... She's rough on the corners because of everything she's gone through. And so, yeah, she's disturbing and dire and depressing at times or whatever, but I think her journey and who she is as a character is more interesting.
I think The Last of Us does a much better job of... And we were making fun of this in Infinite, but it does a much better job of masking the fact that both the games deal with these characters who are not murderers but have to become okay with that. And Elizabeth is always just like, geez, why'd you do that? Here's some guns. Here's some ammo. And Ellie is just sort of just like, look, we have to kill that guy. Or she doesn't even say it. She just runs up and stabs somebody for you. And you're like, oh, fuck. You're a young girl. Why did you – okay.
What did they do to you?
Yeah, there's a great – the first scene where she does something like that in The Last of Us is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, the constant here is Troy Baker has to babysit all these people.
Troy Baker brings the babies together.
He does, yeah. Good man.
I will say this, though, quickly to leave The Last of Us or whatever, is that, you know, we talk about – I'm going to say an Uncharted 3 spoiler now. So if you, for some godforsaken reason, you haven't played that game yet, just fast forward like 20 seconds.
Yeah.
There's a young Drake moment in The Last of Us like every couple hours.
Yeah.
You know? There's a lot of like really well-kept secrets in this game.
Yeah.
Including the way the game starts. And I think that people are going to be really surprised with the emotional roller coaster that the game brings you on, which is much more than Uncharted. And I think the designed to be so because Uncharted is an action movie with characters we really care about. We really care about Drake and you know.
It's actually...
This is something somebody pointed out in the emails that I didn't print off. I think I might have done it for the spoiler cast, not for this, where they were asking me that, you know, I made a comment when Uncharted 3 came out that it's, you know, again, I guess we're spoiling more Uncharted 3 stuff. You know, even when it looks like Sully's about to die or whatever, I knew he wasn't about to die because there are unspoken rules to Uncharted, and the rules being no main character, none of the core cast is going to die. Elena, Sully, and Drake are going to get out of every one of those games alive, and you know that. Whereas with The Last of Us, it was literally, is that guy dead? Is that person dead? Anything can happen. And the way they start and end certain chapters of the game, you're like, I don't know what the fuck just happened.
I had cutscenes happen to me in The Last of Us where Joel died, and I was like, that's it. And I put the controller down, and I was like, it's just Ellie now. And then it was like, he came back, and I picked it up, and I was like, oh, shit, he's still alive, okay. But you say that, you know, they were both emotional roller coasters, and it's an interesting word because I was sort of going into The Last of Us expecting it to be more of a roller coaster because the Uncharted games absolutely are. And 2 or 3 years ago, if you had said to me, what will Naughty Dog be doing in 5 years, I would have said these – movie games, right? Like these highly scripted, giant set pieces where you're running from point A to point B to getting through these whole, you know, environments that are predetermined paths. Now, after The Last of Us, I think that in 5 years, they'll be making the best open world games on the planet. Because I think that now they were able to open up, give complete freedom for where their characters can go. They give you a map and you're like, well, I can go in any direction to kill anybody here. I can do anything I want. And I really feel like that's the way it's going to go. Yeah, they are not, like, people going into this game thinking it's Uncharted 4, but with zombies are idiots. You could not be more wrong. Like, this is not a drive down the road type of game. Like,
anything's possible. I don't see that. I don't come away. I mean, I think the games are going to get bigger and bigger, but open world and stuff, I don't know.
I would love an open world game from them. But
yeah, no, I would too. But I mean, what's always at the heart, right, is the narrative. And I think when you go open world, you lose that, right? Because it does become.
I don't think so. I think that that's what this generation will bring, is that it will refine things like open world games. I think more and more people are making them. Every car game coming out is now an open world MMO.
Every Ubisoft game.
Every Ubisoft game is an MMO. It's an, you know, a giant open world. So especially with, like, basically everyone saying there's no load of times next gen. So,
right.
Yeah, we'll see.
Colin, who are you dialing up?
I'm going to call there's the same number for both these people, so it's...
Well, that means that they were stupid and only applied
with one.
Well,
it's Jordan and Emily. But before I do, I just want to say, go back to Uncharted 3 real quick. So more spoilers, because you said something that was interesting.
Okay.
So 20 seconds fast forward if you haven't played Uncharted 3. I think that it was originally written to kill Sully.
You think so?
I think, like, when he died or gets shot at the end of the game, I think they were going to kill him.
I don't. I mean, I just don't.
That's just my theory.
My whole thing, like I'm saying, with the rules of it, the rules are entrenched right now unless Elena and Drake have a kid. If the game starts with them having a kid, then I can see them killing Elena.
Oh, jeez.
I think I don't, but I don't think, like...
That would be really dark.
But that's the whole thing, is that anyone dying in these games, or in the Drake games, is really dark, and that is not what they are. They are pulp action Indiana Jones, you know what I mean? Where all the bad guys die, for sure. The main characters always get away.
Totally. And I think that those guys who made those games now, they have this other outlet where they can dump their horrible, miserable ideas.
No pressure, right? I'm sure they were all like, oh man, go Last of Us team. I hope you do great. And then another 10, they're like, motherfucker.
Yeah. the thing about Naughty Dog, and we'll make this call, I think the thing about them is that they can't, I don't know if they can possibly keep delivering games like this. Like, they're really, really good, but they're human. You know, like, eventually they're going to release, like, an 8.5.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to be like, what?
They're going to have their cars.
The golden age is over.
I just, you know, I want people to be prepared for that, whether it's inevitable.
Yeah.
All right. I'm calling
Jordan.
Speaker.
You calling Jordan?
Jordan or Emily, I think.
Whoever's first name. Is it the first name on the list is Jordan?
Jordan. Well, it's two Jordan. People with the same.
What I'm saying, who's listed first?
Oh, Jordan.
Thanks.
Hello?
Is this Jordan?
Yes, it is.
You motorboating son of a bitch. This is Podcast Beyond, episode 298. How are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm good. Can't complain. You excited for 300? Are you still coming?
I am.
Okay, good. I haven't updated this list Colin's calling off of, so I didn't know if we're going to screw anything up. Are you excited?
I am, actually. Yeah, I'm super pumped about it.
You're what? You're super pumped about it. Okay.
You sound thrilled.
where are you coming from, Jordan?
We're coming from Colorado, actually.
Ah.
Yeah, me and my fiance are coming out, so.
Oh, Emily.
Yes.
That's some bad news about Emily. No, I don't know. Here's Brian Altano.
Hey, Jordan, how are you?
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm just doing a podcast, and we thought we'd call you up because you just sound so excited all the time, especially right now.
That's good.
What do you do for a living, Jordan?
Right now I'm going to school and I'm working at a wine cheese bar.
Yeah. A wine and cheese bar. That sounds good. Do people? What's the earliest someone's gotten completely shit faced there?
I don't know. They sometimes come in shit faced. So.
So yeah, that was a trick question. Then they come in drunk.
Open at 10, so in the morning.
You guys open at 10 in the morning?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like the best idea or the worst idea.
Gotta get that cheese, yo.
No, exactly. So.
That's too early for both of those things. All right, cool. Well, I'm really excited to see you in a few weeks. I'll be at Podcast Beyond also. I'll be in the audience mingling.
Cool. Sounds good.
Here's Greg. He's going to say goodbye and wish you love.
Yeah, I'm going to let Colin do that.
All right. This is Colin.
It's your boy, Colin.
It's your boy, Colin M. We'll see you on, what is it, Greg?
July 12th.
Friday, July 12th. You and your fiance, come have fun. Play some PlayStation games. Play The Last of Us. Be prepared. Okay?
Okay.
All right. We'll see you soon.
Beyond!
All right. Awesome.
All right. Beyond. 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 Bye.
He seems like a nice young
guy.
That
was good.
Yeah, that was fun.
I was hoping Emily was his sister. Goldfarb could get a ticket to Pound Town.
No, oh,
not this
man.
Time. Not going to happen.
That's what ticket this is. What this is. It's a giant ruse.
Goldfarb a date.
300 enter,
actually,
one
while,
leaves.
While we're thinking of that, Tim sent in some quick fire questions. We'll start with the one for Goldfarb because it was pretty good. Goldfarb, he's you know, choose one, Brian.
Oh, okay.
Never. You're going to do it for him.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Goldfarb.
Yes?
Never have another date. Or erase all your love, save memories about the BioShock series.
Well, okay, so I won't answer this as Goldfarb, but I will say that one time Goldfarb told me that having a girlfriend just makes your life worse. So that'll answer that.
That's like me being like, all those muscles people have really get in the way of walking Portillo. I don't even know. Colin.
Yeah.
Have the Jets win a Super Bowl or the Islanders win the Stanley Cup?
It's tough.
I know, right?
Wow. That is the best question I've ever seen anyone ask you. You're legitimately stunned right now. Oh, my God.
I don't know. I mean, I think it would be – it's more unlikely that the Jets win the Super Bowl, I think, than the Islanders win another cup. And the Islanders have won four cups, and the Jets have only won one Super Bowl. So I would have to go with the Jets.
Okay.
Based on the data.
Greg, earn no trophies for a week or not eat wings for 4 months. Clearly, trophies, no trophies for a week.
Greg doesn't care about trophies.
You do that all the time. I care about trophies.
No,
I still have more than you.
What's
still a higher level than you?
Yeah, whatever.
Not platinum.
I have like 8 more platinums than you.
It's a funny thing that they don't put those on the list, though. Funny thing they don't put those on the friends list. You look at Colin Moriarty, it doesn't say number platinum. It says your level. Are we done with E3? You want to talk? You want to see what the listeners have to say about PlayStation 4?
Sure.
We've been talking for a while. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, to be part of the show Beyond at IGN.com, just like Quentin did. While all the factual information, Amazon pre-orders and IGN polls seem to point to a clear victory for the PlayStation 4 in the upcoming generation. Are people getting a bit ahead of themselves?
Yes.
The early data is no doubt made up of hardcore gamers and early adopters, but in the long run, what percentage of sales does the Beyond crew think these two groups will make up? Yes, everyone's way too far ahead of themselves.
Of course.
Quentin.
We always do this. I mean, we did this back when the PSP and the Vita were first announced. People screen capped the Amazon. It was like, oh, it's the best-selling thing, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
We always say going into Nintendo 3DS was going to put Nintendo out of business. It didn't. I actually never would have called that the Xbox 360 would be selling the way it does every single month. But Microsoft is doing a lot of really tricky shit, like that achievement to get people to buy the console on the first day, and you get an achievement for that, is really smart.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
And the people who are addicted to that shit are going to have to buy it,
even if they don't play it. Yep. Well, I'm going to buy one eventually, and I want this trophy or achievement.
And I think getting like the Call of Duty players thinking, oh, I'm going to move all my friends and all my audience to a new platform that's never really had proven like cross game chat or anything like that, or people don't really associate it with like playing first person shooters online on the PS3. They just don't.
That's the $1 million question for me is that all the hardcore guys are super upset about this. We talk about this DRM, this, that, blah. That's not any. When you walk into the store, you're not going to understand that if you're just some gamer. If you only buy Call of Duty and you only buy Madden and you walk in, you're like, oh, the Xbox is $100 more. Whatever, that probably means it's more powerful, and all my friends are already on it.
And someone else is going to go, but you know, it requires the internet. And they'll be like, oh, well,
that's the reason why I'm buying it.
Yeah,
the
I have the internet. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, people are being, I think, really you know,
short-sighted.
People have been a little crazy about the Xbox. I mean, the Xbox is going to be just fine.
Yeah.
It's going to have really strong games and really strong support. And I agree that the carryover between consoles is going to be significant on both sides. So you're really dealing with like a middle ground where you're going to have to try to grab people. Now, that $100 difference might be key or whatever, but like the whole you pay – people always levy the complaint that you pay to play online on Xbox. Well, now you're going to pay to play online on PlayStation 4. So that you know, because that was a little – they snuck that
in.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, they did. And they were really smart about that too. And they've also been exponentially ramping up how awesome PlayStation Plus is the last few months. And like a year ago, I was like, that thing's a joke. And then I signed up for it. And I was like, this is the coolest, like, this is the best service.
Yeah, they've had, 2 years now of awesome press about
and if you're there and you download the games as they come out, or even just, like, queue them up.
Yeah, that's what I do. I just
have them forever, or as long as you keep paying. And, yeah, they were really smart about that. They're just like, oh, yeah, also, you'll pay for your online now. But
Sean Finnegan, our camera guy, was like, I'm going to buy a Vita. What do I buy with it? What games do I have on my PlayStation Plus?
Yeah, that's
buy PlayStation Plus.
You could
very legitimately be pretty happy on PS3 and Vita without ever buying a game if you have PlayStation Plus.
Because
even, you know, what did you get just in the last few months on PS3? Like
Vanquish
and Spec Ops and
Saints Row.
I just bought Saints Uncharted Row 3.
It's like really Sleeping Dogs.
Sleeping Dogs.
It's like ridiculous.
What was it? Not Dishonored. What you said? Deus Ex.
Deus Ex. There's like a lot. Like you could like never spend money. I don't know how they make money. I don't know how the fuck they make it work.
I don't get it either. And it's like, you know, they throw in an Uncharted every now and then, but for the most part, it's not like the biggest name titles. It's always those like those sort of 85 B pluses that you're like, I'll get to them, and then you never do. But PlayStation Plus is like, well, now you will.
Yeah.
And it's sort of this. That's what I love about the service too, because like I missed Deus Ex when it came out, and I'll play it now because I downloaded it, and I wouldn't have done that if it wasn't for PlayStation Plus being like, hey, here's this thing.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's a nice program.
So yeah, we'll see where that goes. There's the Call of Duty guys. There's the fucking Zumba Just Dance people that might just be like, hey, I need new thing.
But what about the dudes that play MAG? Where are they?
You can't lose that audience. No. You can't lose the MAG audience.
No,
all 200
massive action game. David from Sacramento writes in and says, Beyond. With the news that the PlayStation 4 camera won't be bundled with the console, does this device have any future at all? I'd love a reason to buy it, but without the guaranteed install base, I'm worried that it will fall by the wayside. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
David, that's the big concern. I get to keep your price down, keep it out, but by keeping it out, it does the same thing. I think I talked to this on the Shuhei podcast that the whole reason PlayStation Move wasn't supported is because the install base was so small and it wasn't picked up, so nobody made games for it. I thought they were bundling the camera in there with the controllers that already function like Move. That way people would have a reason to go make Move games and keep that kind of tech. Now we're back to this same thing of who's going to buy a camera? You know, what's the point of buying
a
camera?
I think it was probably initially meant to be part of the system, and they couldn't get the price point where they needed to be if they included it. The one thing that people have been missing too is that they only announced one SKU. Like,
yeah,
there's going to be more
point.
SKUs. Like, they weren't clear about this, but I clarified it with Andrew House afterwards. He said, like, we're not announcing more SKUs yet. But, like, there's going to be a SKU with the camera. There's going to be a SKU probably with a bigger hard drive. The hard drive it comes with is 500 gigabytes. I assume there'll be a terabyte drive at some point.
Yeah.
Someone, I forget what retailer it is, whether it be Best Buy or Amazon, but they're already doing their own bundles, too. You buy just the PlayStation Plus
one. Yeah,
buy the Drive Club one. It has Plus and that. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff.
Do you guys still think there will be a Vita bundle?
Yes, I do. I absolutely think they're going to bundle Vita.
I mean, what
you mean? You mean it from Sony side?
From Sony,
one box, both of them in it. Okay.
Yeah, wow. I think retailers will inherently do it to get rid of their Vita stock. But
yeah.
I think I could see a world where, like, for $500, you're going to get like a Vita with your PS4 or something.
That's insane.
It's a good deal.
I've never seen anything like that before. It makes sense for Sony.
It makes perfect
to do that.
Sense because think about what the number they really have some really interesting numbers about Vita in the wake of there being no game announcements except for Dead Nation coming to Vita, which is fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
And Limbo.
Well, yeah, Limbo's already out. Dead Nation's a fucking game changer for me. I love that game. But they announced that, like, Vita, with the people that buy it, Vita is really popular. Like, they buy over 10, like, average, like, almost a dozen games, right, per Vita.
Yeah.
So if you just get the Vita out there, then, like, you're – and Gaikai is going to somehow work into this, and you're going to have a subscription to Gaikai and all this shit, and then you'll start buying games, and like it's a kind of a backdoor in.
That's just like that is the coolest box in video game history. Could you imagine, like, when we were kids and we got an NES, and it was like, oh, it's the thing and the power pad, or like you got a gun with it, or maybe you got the robot. But here they're like, here's the most powerful thing in the world, and it's little buddy. You get two systems in one box. I would be like, I don't even know where to start. And they're like, oh, here's PlayStation Plus. It also comes with 30 games. I'd be like,
It's just such a fucking no-brainer. Like, I really, like, at launch would not be surprised if they did that. Like, I think it's such an
– I think it's overwhelming. I think it's a bit much.
Really? To say, hey, you see that Wii, that Wii U with its, like, with its kind of bad gamepad that has one-touch functionality and all this?
Yep.
Like, we have a Vita, and you can play its own games on it, or you can do exactly what you do on the Wii U, but with these PlayStation games. I think it's kind of compelling where it's like, hey, this is kind of fucking cool.
They're probably best off not mentioning the Wii U in any of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
By the way.
For sure.
But you know that Wii U that you don't have? You don't do it.
You guys know that Wii U you love up so much, huh?
And like, well, we're going to do things better than that thing you've never heard of.
They're like, no, well, we got this thing anyway that's kind of like
people would be like, what's the Wii U? And they'd be like, oh, man, we just did more marketing for this thing than Nintendo did.
Yeah, I would expect that out the gate. IMO.
Andrew writes into beyond@IGN.com with an interesting thing, Colin, we haven't spoken about yet.
Yeah.
After the announcement of the price of the PlayStation 4 at E3, I am now absolutely buying one. With the expanding PSN friends list coming for the launch of the PlayStation 4, I would like to make a reservation on Greg Collins and Goldfarb's friend list. My PSN ID is blah, blah, blah. He is this level with 16 platinum trophies. He's been listening to Beyond since 196. He's been blah, blah, blah. We haven't talked about this yet. Yeah, the PSN.
What is it going to be, 1,000 now?
Yeah, it's 1,000. It's gonna be huge. You guys have no excuse. I don't want to see any more tweets. Oh, there's a free space in my coveted. It's 1,000.
We're gonna hit that day one.
Yeah, we'll max out.
You understand that right now? This is how bad it is. When I go in to delete someone to add someone I really know, in the time it takes me to delete them and then scroll up to add them, I get a request that I have to then delete to add them. It's insane right now.
Yeah, it's cool. I had and playing the last one because my name is Moriarty-IGN, so people know who I am on there. A lot of people are really friendly. I refuse to voice chat on video games. But the, you know, people like talking or send me messages, and they're all really friendly. And I'm sure those kinds of people will add us as time goes on when we have that 1,000.
Right.
The only person, one person messaged me was like, fuck IGN.
And you're like, fuck you, bro.
And I was like, all right. And then I just messed them up in The Last of Us.
It's so good.
That's
I'd like to run through some of the names you sent me of people you were playing The Last of Us with this weekend.
Because okay.
Colin knows that it cracks me up. So he sent me some of his favorite names from The Last of Us this weekend. These are all real. You can PSN message these people. The Underpant Gnome. We Poop on Kids. My GF's Yummy Undies. That was my favorite.
Wow.
I was on the train, I think, when I got that one and just laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed.
It reminded me of the there's a couple really inappropriate ones I used to play Wolfenstein with back in like 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. One was Harry Danglers. And the other one was Blind Cripple, who was actually really, really good at the game.
I
don't know how they get away with some of these names.
A friend texted me.
I mean, as long as it's not the F word, right? Nobody's paying attention.
A friend texted me the other day telling me about how he got a job at this design firm. And I was like, oh, I've heard of that. That's run by Harry, right? And he's like, Harry who? And I was like, Harry Paratestes. And he's like, no, I don't know who that is. I was like, you know, Harry Paratestes of the Paratestes brothers.
And he's just like, he's blindly staring
like,
at you.
5 minutes later, I get a text back and he's like, fuck you.
You're a fucking kid.
Yeah, some of the names, the PSN, because I don't play online very often, so I don't see these fucking names. Like, these kids are funny, man. Some of these guys are really funny. Like, some of the guys online are, like, really funny. Too,
yeah.
But I have this timing all set on The Last of Us where you're in the lobby for, like, 2 minutes while everyone's getting their thing together, and I unmute everyone so in case anyone's saying anything pertinent, and then, like, when it's 1 second, I hit square, and everyone's muted.
For
the game. And so, yeah, it's like, what's up?
I do love walking around, like, a dystopian apocalypse world and then getting shanked by my girlfriend's Yummy Undies.
Yeah, he was nasty. My GF's Yummy Undies was nasty.
That's a great name. Keena writes in to beyond@IGN.com and says, Beyond!
Beyond.
Beyond.
Hey, guys. A lot of people were surprised by Ready at Dawn's new game, The Order 1886. The studio has built up a lot of respect because they were able to max out the PSP with their God of War games. Do you think that Ready at Dawn will be the new Naughty Dog in terms of pushing the hardware to its maximum?
No. But I think
hard to be Naughty Dog.
Yeah,
they're pretty darn good.
But I think that Ready at Dawn is a really capable studio, and they've been working on this game for a really long time. And they still They've been working on this game really since the, what is it, Ghost of Sparta was the second one?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so it's like since 2010, 2011, this project's been incubating, and they still won't put a release date or a window on it. So it's like not even close to being ready. So they're really taking their time. And they are a one-team studio.
Yeah.
So
they're awesome. That's the whole thing. I'm so stoked to see a new IP from them. Something brand new. Here's our own game. We're not just making Kratos's, you know what I mean? Like, because those, I thought those were fantastic games. You know, they were the ones that honestly turned me on to God of War a little bit, because I didn't like 1 or 2 that much for some reason. But the PSP ones hit the right strides, the right notes for me to be on the go and care about it. So to see them doing something here that is a console game.
Do we know what this game is yet? Is it a first-person shooter?
Yeah, I know.
No, it's third-person, right?
It's a third-person linear narrative-driven action game.
Got it.
With shooting mechanics.
Alternate history. You're
it
in
borrows
London.
Elements from Time Cop.
Yeah. So
nothing wrong with that.
So basically, it's the order is like this millennium-old order. Like there's like a fight between humans and this mysterious species of like whatever. They're not zombies. Everyone's like, it's a zombie game. They're not zombies. And the order is like what keeps everyone safe. And when the Industrial Revolution happens in the real timeline, our timeline alters. It like basically the humans have like the edge over them for the first time, and it's about like how they're taking them out. And you'll notice like they point out really interesting things in the trailer. Like there are Zeppelins and blimps in the trailer, but that really didn't happen until the 19-teens. So like they're still using horse-drawn carriages. So like there's like all this weird tech spin-off shit. Some things happened, some things didn't. And their guns are obviously like really futuristic. I called it steampunk, and they were a little offended by that. They were like, it's not really steampunk. I kind of think it is, but.
You brawled.
they were like, it's a little more. It's like the Victorian edge. Like they're not going for like futuristic backwardsness, if that makes any sense. Which is really what steampunk's all about. If you think about like Final Fantasy VI, for instance, like it's in the future, but it's also in the past.
Right.
This is like in a time that, you know, 140 years ago. It's like that's when it takes place. So it's not theoretically steampunk. But it's definitely got that aesthetic. I think the game's really exciting. Just talking to them about it, they're like really passionate and interested in it. I want to see more. I was disappointed that they didn't show more.
Right.
Because that game and The Witness were two games I saw but didn't get the
play. Can I get a witness?
And The Witness, I don't know about that. I know people are you know really excited about that game, and it's really thoughtful and clever, but I don't know about that game yet. Like just watching it being played, I think it's like it hits one note over and over again just constantly. And I don't know if that's
what if it's a really good note?
It seems like a really interesting note. Like the cool thing about Jonathan Blow is that he
C flat.
He's like really.
That's it.
He's really
IGN's top 25 notes.
He's like really into his games, and he talks about them in like a very artistic and authoritative way, and I appreciate that. But I feel like the game's not what I thought it was, and I don't know how I feel about that yet.
Final question comes from Ali, writes it to beyond@IGN.com, just like you can and should. A lot of people are up in arms about Snake's new voice in Metal Gear Solid 5. I think what people are forgetting is that this is not Solid Snake we're talking about, but rather Big Boss, a.k.a. Naked Snake. My theory is that Kiefer Sutherland will voice Big Boss, and David Hayter will make an appearance as Solid Snake either towards the end of Metal Gear Solid 5 or possibly Metal Gear Solid 6. We all know Big Boss will ultimately cross paths and be killed by Snake, Solid Snake. So it would be pretty weird to have the same person with two different voices talking to each other at the same time. So that's why we get different voices. Or same
yeah,
voice.
That would be the weird thing in the Metal Gear Solid game.
That's where things get crazy.
Ease up.
I understand what you're driving at, Ali. And I agree with you, that does make sense what you're pitching. But you were able to suspend your disbelief that, you know, I mean, David Hayter was Naked Snake. He was Big Boss already. And now he's older, sure, you're doing this. I mean, David Hayter was on Up at Noon. And granted, the man's an actor. But he seemed pretty confident he wasn't going to be in this game.
Yeah, I was telling weird. People after that, friends of mine were like texting me, and they're like, well, it was all part of the act. And I was like, I don't know. Greg and I had lunch with him for like an hour. We had drinks. Like, I know, yeah, he can act. But that was legitimately like, yeah, I'm just not in that game. So we'll see.
You'd hope. I mean,
So there's still room that they'll call him and be like,
sure. And that'd be awesome. But it's just one of those things of the whole way this went down and how so publicly awkward and everything else. I really doubt that you're going to see him in this game. And then you have to imagine if they were going to do it next game, they hung him out to dry.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, not even an official note of what was happening. And like, this is our plan. Don't freak the fuck out when it happens.
Yeah.
when people announce you're not in the game, don't go on Twitter and get crazy.
Yeah. Well, we already did that.
We did it for him. But, I mean, he would have talked us out of that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, we had a whole campaign going, and lots of people were angry about this. And he sat down with us, and he looked us dead in the face, and he's like, no.
Yeah.
So
Hopefully, we'll see.
Yeah, if it happens, it won't happen without a very awkward phone call.
What I'm most excited about with this new Metal Gear game, two things.
Yeah.
Open world, which horse is really
stealth.
Cool.
Stealth horsing, yeah.
That's and right. The bad guys look really cool. Like, I really don't feel like there's been a compelling cast since really the first one. Like, the second one, Fat Man's in the second one, obviously, is the best.
Yeah.
But, like, there's no, you know, like, when you think about, you know, Vulcan Raven and Sniper Wolf and, you know, Psycho Mantis and all these guys in the very
Psycho
end,
Mantis!
You know, and Decoy Octopus, the best one of all that you never actually see.
He bangs this Decoy Octopus drum every time Metal Gear comes up. He does it just to annoy people.
you do see him once, but he's as someone else.
Yeah, DARPA Chief.
And so that's like a really compelling crew. And when they introduced all the bad guys in this new one, I'm like, this is like kind of a really cool group. I really like Skullface a lot. He's the new Fat Man. And I like Quiet. She seems like a sniper. Like, I bet you that they know which Sniper Wolf
is. This is the bikini girl.
She's the sniper.
The bikini girl.
Yeah.
Yes. What?
Not shaking my head at you.
No.
But come on. Really? Oh, they couldn't put her in clothes?
No.
They couldn't give her a name other than Quiet.
Her name's Quiet. She's Quiet in a black bikini all the time. Okay.
That's what she's
got boobies and no voice.
That's what she's called.
Video games.
That's the only way she can snipe. I can't wait to see the backstory there.
Well, I just think that her design is much cooler than Ocelot's or something.
But the armor that would have kept me alive if ever in combat was too was too cumbersome, so I started wearing a bikini.
When are they going to bring Decoy Octopus has to come back.
Oh, yeah. Well, they got to introduce him. He's going to probably get his own game. Metal Gear Solid. It'll be a Vita game. Metal Gear Solid,
this
Decoy
Octopus.
This game
plays in the 80s, right? So that they're this,
yeah,
right?
Probably. We're probably catching up to the time that way, yeah.
These guys are all still alive, and that's what I'd like to, because the Shadow Moses instance, what, 99, right?
Yeah, maybe.
So it would be cool to just work some of those guys, like if you just see Vulcan Raven or someone like.
Sure.
Or even.
I mean, you figure that's always been the big thing about, like, Ocelot, right? We saw him in 3 as a young Ocelot, and now he got old, and then he got a hand down in there and all that stuff. Spoilers.
Yeah, whatever. No one even knows what the fuck's going on.
I just hope that horse can't spoil that story. Don't kill the horse.
Hey, guys, there's a horse riding by us with a saddle on, but no person. Don't worry about it. Keep patrolling. There's a spy trying to break in. All right.
Yeah, I love that. That scene was fucking stupid.
I just like that they put it up. Yeah. Like, horse stuff.
Yeah, it was making fun of it.
Good lord.
Can he change colors to the horse?
A horse of a magic, a different color? Is that what that was
It'd
called?
Be funny if the horse hung him out to dry and just spin around and you just see a man hanging there like, hey, shoot that horse!
You like the exclamation point?
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Podcast Beyond episode 298. Only, if you're doing the math, 2, but 3 more episodes till Podcast Beyond 300. Remember, we had to do the little jump step, remember, to make it work.
Let's do one more call before we go.
Okay, you can do that. I'll start doing the wrap-up.
Okay.
Remember, IGN.com pays the bills and keeps the lights on. So go there, read the articles, watch the videos, talk to Brian in the comments of everything.
Sure.
If you want to talk to us on our personal Twitters, that sounds great. IGN's IGN. I'm Game Over Greggy. Colin is No Taxation. Brian is Agent Bizzle.
That's right.
Andrew Goldfarb is Garfep. I was able to do that because I wrote it down and read it off the page, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. My brain breaks every episode when I try to say that without looking at it. Yeah,
Garfep?
Because I always want to go Andrew Goldfarb.
Well, it used to be Farb Gar.
Really?
And then Gargar. And then for Barbara to Kep.
Okay, you're right,
here you go. This is Keith.
We're calling Keith right now. I'll tell him about the song.
What song?
The Ryan's wrap-up song.
Oh.
Is it Keith Morrison?
Answer the phone.
Keith's fucking up.
Keith doesn't.
Hello?
Keith?
Yes?
Keith, I need to borrow your PlayStation.
What's this?
It's Greg Miller. Give me your PlayStation.
Did he hear it? That was awesome.
I'm sure he's getting his PlayStation and sending it to us. Ladies and gentlemen,
right away.
Every Podcast Beyond ends with a song and a segment we call Ryan's Wrap Up. I'll try to edit that back in together at the beginning for you, Colin. If you have a song you'd like to see and hear on Podcast Beyond, make sure you send it to beyond@ign.com. Just like James did, he's submitting a song called Is It Possible from The Family of Man. He describes the band as, quote, a foggy blend of oral visuals, or vistas, earthy rhythms, and enchanting lullabies from the northern woods that lie near the cusp between land and sea over yonder.
Just play the music.
Wow.
James is
that
submitting,
sounded wonderful.
James is submitting this because he is celebrating his anniversary this week with Dominic, the drummer of the band. So happy anniversary, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. Is It Possible by the family of man. Beyond.
Beyond.
Bwap, bwap.
How can it be that a calendar's weeks will fly by when I sit around punching machines? Yet the form takes anew when it's waiting for you. Oh, how the seconds tick by with miles in between. Mama said, follow your heart, or you'll surely fall apart. But does it apply when we can finish what we start? I wouldn't say I need too much, but surely I think it's true. I like you so much that I wish that I was with you. Is too much to carry on our bags, but if I traded it all, I know I'd only want you back. Mama said, follow your heart, or you'll surely fall apart. But does it apply when we can finish what we start? I wouldn't say I need too much. So much that I wish that I was with you. Distance can only take you so far, but it feels like we got there so quick. It's not quite something that you and me can easily fix. But please don't worry about the imperfections, my feet can only walk in your direction. For what we lack in opportunity, we make up with connection. Mama said, follow your heart, or you'll surely fall apart. But does it apply when we can finish what we start? Too much, but surely I know it's true. I like you so much that I think that I need you. Yeah, I need you so much that I think that I love you. Yeah, I love you so much that I think that I need you.
Oh, yeah. She was the one I always identified with.
Bea Arthur was Dorothy.
She was like, right. Slutty? She was slutty, and she was an alcoholic divorcee, and she was always just like, it's fine, sister, don't worry about
it. Yeah, she owned that house, too. They were all over with her.
I had my friend Tony, who lives out here, every time he sees me, like, making a vodka soda, he's like, Woody, what's going on there, Blanche? Did you get divorced again?
He's sick.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.